Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm your host, Michael Edward Miller. Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the Southeast such an interesting place to live. It's Wednesday, September 12th, and first up on the show today, we're going to hear about the latest production from the Ensemble Theater of Chattanooga. They're going to perform Things That Go Bump in the Night. It opens September 14th. Terrence McNally wrote Things That Go Bump in the Night, which centers on a fractious family. That's the theme of all the plays the Ensemble Theater is performing this year. Gary Posey is the Ensemble Theater's executive director. He's speaking with WUTC's Richard Winham. Posey says he'd long wanted to produce one of McNally's plays in Chattanooga. That's the reason he chose this rarely performed play.
Things That Go Bump in the Night is Terrence McNally's first play, written when he was just 20 years old. It ran on Broadway for 3 weeks in 1965, despite overwhelmingly negative reviews from critics, who almost all apparently disliked the play so much they felt the need to also attack the playwright. According to McNally, in a Wikipedia article, one critic went so far as to suggest it would have been better if Terrence McNally's parents smothered him in his cradle. He goes on to say, actually, two reviews of my first play mentioned my death. The only publication that liked the play was The Village Voice. Their critic called it the most impressive new American play I've seen this season. The phrase, things that go bump in the night, again, according to Wikipedia, comes from a traditional Scottish poem from ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night. Good Lord, deliver us. The play depicts a vaguely apocalyptic and futuristic family transformed by fear, according to Wikipedia, living in their basement and treating each other with suspicion, threats, and contempt. Family loyalty has been destroyed, and everyone engages in dark and disturbing games. The mother, Ruby, a faded opera diva, is egotistical and manipulative. 13-year-old daughter Lakme engages in malicious sibling rivalry with her brother Sigrid, who is charming but unfeeling. The father Far spends most of his time sleeping in his chair, ignoring the chaos around him. Into this mix, a friend named Clarence visits for the evening. Since Clarence is hopeful and idealistic, the family feels compelled to destroy him. This is Clarence introducing himself to the family.
That was you. Was that from your... Oh, is that what I talk into? I feel like I'm on the radio. Gee, I bet I'm gonna make a mess of this. You mean I'm on already? Oh, heavens. I'm really not prepared, you know. The way I live... No, let me start again. The way I live is the best that I can do. I try. I mean, I really try. And I think I am improving. I think I am becoming a better human being day by day. I really do. Well, anyway, I'm trying. This is awful. I told you. I believe in, well, lots of things. And I think it's sad that we can't enjoy these things the way that we were meant to, you know, because of the circumstances. I love life. I suppose that's a corny statement. I know how fashionable it is to be morose these days, but I do. I really do love it. There are just too many good things in the world not to want to be alive. Just think of all the beautiful things men have made. Music, art, literature. Shakespeare alone is a reason to be alive. How could anyone not want to be alive after there's been a Shakespeare on this earth? As someone who writes poetry. I can't imagine it. And even if I've never seen it real, and maybe I never will, how could anyone not want to be alive when there is a city in Italy named Florence? How could they? Just knowing about Florence, you know, what it means to us that it's here, that there was a Florence, is, and will be. It makes the rest of this planet tolerable. Florence is why we're alive. It's what we're about. And the things you can do, the simple things, you know, what about them? Just to take a walk, even. It can be wonderful. Or to be by the sea and feel that air on your face and see what the horizon means. You can actually see the curve of the earth. And just what they taught you in school, and it's true. That's a wonderful thing to see for yourself. Just to sit in a park, with the sun spilling all over you, watching the people. The other people, they're not you, and that's what's so beautiful about them. They're someone else. Sit and wonder who they are. What they ate for breakfast, what paper they're reading, where they live, what they do, who they love. And that's another reason. Everybody loves somebody, or they will, sometime in their life. Anything that makes you want to live so bad, you'd die for it. Shakespeare, Florence, someone in the park. That's what I believe in. That's all. That's the way I live. Was it all right?
Clarence fights a losing battle against the culture of fear surrounding him, aided sometimes by crotchety grandfather, who remembers when the family was not ruled by fear. The family has lived in a basement apartment and has never left for 9 years. The only members of the family to leave the apartment are Lakme and Sigrid, who every day go out in search of someone to bring back to the apartment for dinner.
This happens every night. It's like an evening ritual to bring someone in from outside and go through a rite of passage.
This is Gary Posey, executive director of the Ensemble Theatre.
There is a nightly ritual episode that happens with someone from the outside.
All of the plays produced and performed by the Ensemble Theatre of Chattanooga this year have been plays focusing on the family. That's one of the reasons Gary Posey chose this play. Family sitcoms at the time, of course, tended to present the nuclear family as largely wholesome and affable. But this play is more Adam's family than Father Knows Best.
For me, I thought, you know, the beginning of it reads, you know, very Neil Simon kind of farcical, larger-than-life, character-driven dialogue. And I mean, I laugh out loud at in reading it and then in hearing it. And then it just goes way to a dark place and in a matter of, you know, a matter of a couple of acts. And yeah. And the darkness, well, yeah, the darkness, to, I guess for me, the isolation, the, you know, the unknown, all of that really spoke to me when I read it. So I felt like it, you know, it was something no one in Chattanooga would produce other than ETC, and let alone even heard of it. And, you know, even Terrence was like, this play flies under the radar of most theaters. Why did you choose it? It has nothing to do with your recent production of Honk, you know, a musical about the Ugly Duckling. I said, ah, but Terrence, it does, because they're both about families, you know, and how families are dysfunctional. He's like, yep, we would not have used that word in the 60s, but that was one of the things that I was writing about in this play, too. So,
the whole season has been basically a challenge to what family means.
This is Kyle Dagnan, the play's director.
What the nuclear family is, and this is a play that definitely takes a look at that, because these characters are not in any way, shape, or form what you would think of when you think of, like, Leave It to Beaver or something like that. Like, they're probably the furthest thing you can get from that. I mean, you have Ruby, who is just larger than life and constantly making everything into a show. And then you have the kids who have grown up.
Opera, not a musical.
Right. You know, which is who have grown up in this world where they have to be afraid of everything, but they have to find the strength and a way to get through it, which is, it's a twisted way that they do get through it, but it's still, it makes you identify with them because, I mean, especially in our current climate where we're constantly fighting battles to get our rights and things like that, it's a statement that I think rings just as true today as it did then.
The ensemble theater tends to produce intellectually and emotionally demanding plays. For the actors, they say it helps that the ensemble feels and functions much like a family itself.
Getting to work with people that you know as opposed to just someone that you've never met before, you kind of know how the other person acts, you kind of know their life, you kind of know emotionally where y'all stand and how much and how far you can go. And that is definitely helpful.
Right. And I think a lot of the shows, because of the types of shows that we do, I mean, even Bump is a 3-actor. So yeah. And it's dense. I mean, it's dense. And, you know, we ask people to go places that they might not be willing or able or think they can go. And that takes a lot of trust. So another thing, you know, working with the same people over and over, you get to really sort of embody that ideal of trust, you know, and how, because we don't rehearse a standard length of time, it tends to be truncated, and we're right on top of the audience, so there's really nowhere to hide. So there's that, you know, and then the plays that we choose, you know, there's a lot of depth to them. And not that other people don't do the same thing, but I know for ETC, we really put people through the ringer. And I think if they didn't trust us, if they didn't trust each other, then we wouldn't be able to do that, you know. And so that's one of the things that I, as a, you know, executive, I guess, really try to get across to everybody is, you know, I trust you. Mm. You know what your job is. I know what my job is. If we do our best, it's going to be no one's coming to see us fail, you know, so we can't think that we're going to fail. You know, you just got to trust that you're going to succeed. And, you know, that's a challenge for some people. And I think when they get there, it's hard for them to, it's kind of like a drug. You know, I feel like, you know, ETC, you know, we hear a lot of people saying it. There's nothing else like you in this town. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it as a compliment.
The Ensemble Theatre's production of Terrence McNally's Things That Go Bump in the Night opens in Barking Legs Theatre on Dodds Avenue on Friday, September 14th. It starts at 7:30. Details are on the website, ensembletheatreofchattanooga.com.
When we announced this play, the playwright, Terrence McNally, emailed us and said, thank you for choosing this production because it was my first Broadway play. You know, I was 20 years old and and it received such, you know, negative press from the critics. They just really didn't like it. But the runs, the 3 weekends that it ran, it was sold out. And so he basically said, you know, and he's turning 80 this year. So he's like, what an amazing birthday surprise to find out that someone is producing my first Broadway play. And it's actually turned into an email pen pal ship between he and I. And so, you know, one of the things that he talks about was his impetus for writing it was the, you know, during the Cuban Missile Crisis and survival. And so that was something that he wanted to explore with survival and to also create a story that he thought spoke to audiences. And as a 20-year-old, he thought he had that. And then with the fact that it sold out for its 3-weekend run in New York, he said, had it not been for that, I may not have ever written another play. So, yeah, so he has a lot of invested in this play and this story. And to be able to be on the end of the stick where he's like, thank you for doing this. And, you know, we thought he might get to come down and see it, but, you know, he can't. He has a lot of professional engagements that he can't get rid of. So
For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.